It's time to find balance and be refreshed here on Every Heart, Every Woman.
Every heart, every woman.
Get ready for uplifting music and inspiring interviews.
Every heart, every woman.
Let's get motivated to move forward as we share our life experiences. Host, Carla Nivens.
Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Carla Nivens. I'm your host for Every Heart, Every Woman Radio. Before we jump into our interview, we're going to set the tone with some live music. This worship song is called Higher. It is performed by my friend David Lucky. Sit back and enjoy.
Go higher. I wanna go higher. I wanna go higher. 'Cause I need you, Lord. I want you, Lord. I'm longing for your touch. I want you, Lord.
Hi, everyone. I'm Carla Nivens. I'm your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. Our show is a program of Love Ministries. Love Ministries is a 501c3 nonprofit. You can find out more information about Love Ministries from their website, loveministriesbuilds.org. And I am very excited. We are missing Vicky today. Vicky is with her family, and but I have my good friend Jana Bell joining me today as co-host. We met Jana. We met in college.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we've just worshiped together over the years. Tackled several music projects together. Jana sang for Kirk Franklin.
I'm going to so did Carla.
Try to embarrass her.
So did Carla.
Right, I did too. But Jana has traveled the world in music ministry and has done so much for so many people. So welcome, Jana.
I'm so glad to be here.
I'm excited. This is your first time on the show, period.
But not the last.
Not the last. But Jana has been working in the background, helping me. She calls herself my what? She's laughing.
I always call and say, here's your unsolicited advice.
Management. Management.
Oh, yes, yeah, definitely like, management.
She's
I sign all text management.
She's like, this is what you need to do. And then she signs it management. So that's perfect. So I'm so glad to have my management here with me today. And that's going to be prophetic because we're going to
Well, I think of us more
management.
I know we got to get to the interview, but I think of us more as like business partners or just really, excuse me, spiritual life partners.
Yes,
because
I'm
excited because I think we're just at the beginning of what God is about to do with everything we're going to do.
Amen. Amen. That's well said. Well said. Well, Jana and I, we are welcoming Dr. Regina Spellman to the radio show today. Dr. Spellman is an author, a speaker, and now she's the creator of a fine arts academy. She does so much, and we're so excited that she's taking some time to be here with us, joining our conversation.
That's right.
Welcome.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm excited to be here and honored to be here. I'm excited.
Well, we truly appreciate it. And you all can't see. We talked about this before the show started. You all can't see her nails. We'll try to put a picture on social media.
It's hilarious.
Because we do have nail envy.
Okay.
Well, this is my first cousin. So I have to say, like really blood. Like people always, you know, that's my cousin. No.
Right.
Our moms are sisters.
All right. Yes.
Regina and my brother have always been the fashion king and queen of this family.
I mean, that's like my brother. We grew up together. We were like raised together, honestly.
Okay. Okay.
Yes, because my mom and Jana's mom have been together, gosh, since I can remember, you know, until they both got married. But we were always, we lived together in the same places, the same houses, same apartments.
Yeah.
We were always together.
Exactly.
So Anthony's like my brother.
Oh, right.
And I think Regina named me. I'm not sure.
Oh, did you come up
with that? I'm trying to see. Did I name you?
She was a part of it.
I may have been.
I think I was, my name was going to be Sarajeva.
No.
Something
It was Sarajevo. That's what it was. It's going to be Sarajevo, yes.
So, yeah.
I think it's from the Olympics or something that was happening at that time.
I just thank God for Jana. That's what I just thank him right now.
Yes. The Lord is good.
Yes,
He's always watching over us.
Yes.
Okay, well, good. I'm glad you stepped in on that one. Well, Regina, you have done so much over the years, and we could do two interviews. But we just have 50 minutes.
Got
so we want you to, first of all, just share your testimony with our listeners. Just give us your background. Let us know where the Lord has brought you up until now.
Okay. Well, I was born in Chicago, Illinois, which is usually where people go like, oh, you're not from, well, people always ask me, are you from Fort Worth? Because you don't sound like you're from Fort Worth.
Right.
And I said, well, I was born in Chicago. And I think we left from Chicago probably when I was around, I don't know, 4 or 5 years of age.
Okay.
And we moved to the city, well, really Tennessee Colony, when people probably don't know where that is, but it's Palestine, Texas.
Okay.
We'll say Palestine. But just from there, grew up in a single parent home. Always wondering who were my dad and who my father was.
Mm-hmm.
for probably up until I was about age 14, I thought another man was my dad until my mom and I had a conversation and I found out the guy that I've been communicating with all this time was not my father. He just happened to be the name on my birth certificate so that it would, I guess, appear that I had a dad.
Okay.
Well, when I found out who my father was, we were having a conversation probably a little over a year, maybe not quite a year, before I actually met him. And my parents were going on vacation, and I asked, could I go see my dad?
Mm-hmm.
Now, mind you, my mom has a sister in Chicago. So my cousin and I, we all were in a car headed back to Chicago with my mom's sister, I believe it was. But we all went back to Chicago, and while there, I had an opportunity to meet my father. Well, in that process of heading there, I'm trying to probably figure out how I'm going to approach him and how do I say, like, hey, Dad, or
right.
like, what's up, Dad? Yeah. Trying to figure out this introduction thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, long story short, I finally get there and my aunt leaves me with all the information to get a hold to my dad. I mean, get a hold to her when it was time for me to pick for her to pick me up or when I was going to be headed home.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I met my dad, when I, the initial, how are you doing, that whole hug and the little kiss was a little weird. But I didn't think about it because it's my daddy, mm-hmm. you know, just my father.
Right.
And I was into gymnastics. I competed in gymnastics. Probably my cousin and I were probably the only African American girls really competing in gymnastics at that time. Mm-hmm. And I think I was in gymnastics probably for over 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
But my sister had a gymnastics studio, and I thought, you know, God must be really into this. This is like really cool, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my brother was going to pick me up for the next morning to take me out to go see the studio. We were going to do pizza. We were going to do the whole nine yards. I was like, oh, this is cool. Go to bed that night and get ready. He says, you know, be ready in the morning for your brother to get you. Well, what I didn't know, the next thing that happens after that is just kind of my whole life just went, I'm not sure, because I thought I was dreaming,
mm-hmm.
but I found out this was really happening. So I hear my dad call me from my room that I was in, and I go to see what my dad wants. I go to the room, and I'm sitting on the bed, and we're just having this conversation. He's up under the cover, and I'm just sitting there, and we're just having this conversation. So some of the questions that he was asking were starting to get a little inappropriate, because mm-hmm. he began to ask me about my boyfriends,
mm-hmm.
you know, have I ever had sex with my boyfriends? I'm like, I don't even have a boyfriend. Mm-hmm. My mom won't even let me have a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, long story short, that little conversation led to a major disaster.
Mm.
The next thing I knew, I was fighting for my life.
Wow.
My dad was in the process of raping me on the bed.
Mm-hmm.
And when I tell you I fought, I was fighting for my life. And it was horrific. And I remember he was like, you need to quit acting like that. You know, you need to let me continue to do what I'm doing. But by this time, I'm now on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And so because I'm trying to get away, now he's kicking me. Mm-hmm. He's stomping on me. He's beating me. So I'm crawling to the restroom, trying to get to the bathroom mm-hmm. to lock myself up. And by mm-hmm. that time, I just can't even imagine. So fast forward, finally get out of there. I wrote my brother this long note while he's taking me to my aunt, back to my aunt's home.
Mm-hmm.
But what I didn't know, he had removed all the phone numbers, removed everything out of my room so I couldn't call anybody. So all of this was planned, and I didn't know it.
Oh.
And en route, I'm writing, and this is how traumatized I was. They were turning the car off the road, and I thought he knew what I was writing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But really, it was the road to where he was taking me.
Right.
And I'm thinking, now I'm getting ready to be killed and left in a ditch somewhere.
Yeah,
it was the craziest thing. Anyway, did all of that. I told my brother about it. He was devastated. We walked this little, I'm telling you, it's like a movie. I think mm-hmm. it's going to be a movie one day. I mm-hmm. really do. Anyway, shared all of that information. So get back home, and this is when it really got real. He had threatened me that if I shared what happened to me, that he would kill me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm home in my bed. Star Telegram comes in Fort Worth. That's our paper. And on the front cover it says, "Father raped by daughter age 15. I thought I told someone and it made the front page of the paper.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
From that point on, my whole life just kind of spiraled out of control. I was a cheerleader. I was in everything, still trying to compete. Then I start finding myself, you know, doing what we call speed back then, taking blacks, and just different things like that. Because in an African-American community, you don't share this kind of stuff.
Right.
And so when everybody knows it in the family, everybody's like, shh, be quiet, you know.
Exactly.
Right. Don't say nothing, you know. But everybody in the family knows.
Right.
So now you're already feeling weird. Everybody, you feel like everybody's eyes on you. Mm-hmm. And my father finally got a hold to my dad, and my dad, my biological father, admitted to the fact, you know, because first everybody was like, Regina, that couldn't have happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, why would I lie about such a thing? And I think this is another thing, too, why a lot of women don't come forth when things like this happens, because it's the very same thing. Did that really happen? What did you do? How did you look? Were you dressed?
Right.
Appropriately that he didn't, you know.
Let alone the messages that go that in your own head.
Yes. So I'm thinking, okay, so they don't believe me. Everybody thinks I'm a liar.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all of that happened to go off to school. I experienced sexual assault again in my college years. And then I got married and I was raped while I was married.
Hmm. Lord have mercy.
So it never stopped.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, my identity, I began to think, but that is that really who I am?
Mm-hmm.
Is it marked on me that that's why I'm here?
Mm-hmm.
Because mind you, I'm not really all that into the church either, because we just weren't really churchgoers at the time. And so all of that just took me into a place, drugs, alcohol, sleeping around, you know, trying to get back at men. It was just horrible.
Mm-hmm.
After all of that, got through all of that, became an advocate for the Women's Center in the Fort Worth, Women's Center in Fort Worth, became an advocate. My hours were from like midnight to 6 in the morning.
Okay.
It took me a couple of years to get to that space, but there's a lot I could fill in, but started being there for women that have been assaulted, sexually assaulted. So I was the first person that they met at the hospital. Our JPS hospital downtown Fort Worth is probably one of the best places. People even bring people from Dallas to Fort Worth because they have literally their own suite, which makes it really good, especially, I'm talking about really good, but it it makes the victim much more, the survivor, much more comfortable because you got your own waiting room, your own, it just, you don't have to be mixed in with everybody else and like you're just coming in there for an emergency.
Right.
But they have their own place for that. And so to be able to take my pain and just say, hey, I really get it. I understand what you're dealing with. I know what you're going through, and I'm here for you just to hold your hand.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes they want you to come into the room for the rape exam.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, I think that's horrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's almost like you're being violated all over again.
Right.
So, you know, I'm excited when I didn't have to do that because, you know, we have to take all their clothes, bag it for DNA testing, the whole nine yards, and then provide clothing for them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in that process, I began to think about how many of us, we don't use the benefits for the center that the Women's Center provides, again, because we're just private people.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, what could I do to bring light to this? So that's kind of where Get Brief came into play.
Okay.
So Get Brief came into play just to begin to be an educational, a way to educate our people in regards to sexual assault and how it really, really happens, and that this is not something people... Your perpetrators plan this, and it doesn't matter what you have on.
Exactly.
When you look your best, they're not looking for you.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for the people that are comfortable.
Because
people that are dressed up are wanting people to see them.
Mm-hmm.
So you're aware of who's looking at you. But when you are casual, if you notice, most people that get raped, they're in their sweats, their pajamas, they just chill, not paying attention, not aware. That's when you're the most vulnerable. And that's what I tell parents all the time when you start saying, don't get that, you know, those men are going to want you. They're going to, not really.
Hmm.
They're looking for the person that's really laid back and not really paying attention to their surroundings. It's when you're most comfortable that they're after you. Mm. So what I did with Get Brief was start trying to get the information out to definitely our community to make them aware of really what's going on mm-hmm. and what's available to them. And then allowing them the liberty and the freedom in settings to be able to open up and say, you know what? That was me too. Mm-hmm. You mean to tell me that, yeah, you can get help from this, or this just happened to me not too long ago. You still got time to go to go to the doctor. You can still get the rape exam, and they can hold that on. That thing can sit on the shelf until Jesus returns, until they decide that, hey, I'm ready to pull it. Mm-hmm. You know, so just bringing awareness and just like I said, and giving them the opportunity. And so that's what Get Brief does. And we also provide just some inspiration. We do what we call a brave box. And in that brave box, we have a deal that's called Brave Girl. And that's just a note for me with a journal or writing with a T-shirt that says Fearless in it, that we just give away for people that have been assaulted just to say, hey, We're in this with you.
Yes,
you can do this, and this too will pass.
Yes.
And in that, I leave some information in there in a book that I wrote called Hey You, just an empowerment book to just say, hey, you're really all of that.
Yes.
Just remember that. Yes. You're not what you've been through.
Right.
Your issue is not your name.
Right.
So, hey, I'm here if you need me. And I leave all of that information in the box. So when people give to Get Brief or donate, that's where our monies go. We create the boxes and then we just give them out as needed.
Yeah.
So how can we get information about attending a Get Briefed?
Well, it would have to be, you would have to definitely go up on the site, or we would just advertise it. We're on letsgetbrief.com, L-E-T-S, getbriefed.com.
Okay.
And you can go on there and we'll put up anything that's taken place, or you can go on Instagram at letsgetbrief.com, at letsgetbriefed.
Okay.
And it'll have the information on there, or my own Instagram at Dr. Regina Spellman.
Okay. You know, we need to take a break, but I thought when you said a lot of times we don't, there are so many things in families that aren't discussed. I have so many questions about that, about how to make it okay for us to, you know, I want to get your thoughts on how do we make these conversations okay. So let's take a break, and then we'll be back in just a few minutes with Dr. Regina Spellman.
Every Heart, Every Woman, the show where women find balance, peace, and inspiration. Now let's get back to the show with your host, Carla Nivens.
Welcome back to the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show, everyone. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host. I have my good friend Jana Bell here hosting.
Hey.
Man, we are having a conversation today.
a great one.
With Dr. Regina Spellman. And Regina, when we went to break, our conversation did keep going. So we want to fill everybody in on what we talked about. So we left and we were just wondering how you got to the place where you could share all of this and share your testimony and be okay with maybe even some family members that may not be okay, and close friends that may not be okay, people close to the family. Just give us your experience on that. Hopefully that will help so many other families and so many other women who are wanting to say something but haven't gotten to the place where they can yet.
Okay. Let me say where I first shared my story, and then I can probably bring us up to that. I was at a women's retreat. In amongst probably over 150, 200 women. We were outdoors. And someone came to the mic and said, does anybody would like to share their testimony? And I'm like, testimony. Like, what is that? Like, mm-hmm. what do you do with that? And, you know, and I'm just like, okay, no, that's not me, because I'm, my family, you know, nobody, I haven't told anybody in my family yet about this. And not really being what I call delivered, saved, and all that mm-hmm. good stuff. Mm-hmm. Something came over me that literally I felt like was pushing me from the back and mm-hmm. say, go say something. I'm like, I can't. I don't even know where to begin. How do I tell these? They don't know me like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Long story short, I get up and share. The outcome of me sharing is what triggered for me to think, me saying what I said brought so many women forward mm-hmm. that day. I was in shock. So I thought, for me, it was a major relief.
Mm-hmm.
But as I learned early on, I mean, later was when Miss Janet was saying we weren't on the air, that mm-hmm. we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb mm-hmm. and the word of our testimony.
Yes.
And I found after every time that I would share, not only was it a relief for me, but so many other people were free.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, well, this is good. I share, I get freer, and somebody else gets free.
Right.
Like, this is like a win-win yes. situation. Mm-hmm. So I started sharing. And then my mom finally shared with me how uncomfortable that it made her. And I said, well, Mom, you know, I said, I know it probably makes you uncomfortable, but I said, but let me share this with you, and maybe this will help you. And I had a conversation with my mom, and I said, this is not your fault.
Right. Mm.
I said, because I think that's what you're carrying.
Mm-hmm.
Because you made a decision to say yes, that was the correct decision at the moment. Mm-hmm. We had no idea what the enemy right. had planned down
right.
the road.
Right.
I'm going to see my dad. And that's mm-hmm. all that you knew, that we were getting ready to make a connection that I had just been dreaming about.
Mm-hmm.
I said, so if you can allow yourself, take yourself out of the story as the person that made the mistake and allow the enemy to be responsible for what has happened, then you don't have to carry the burden.
Mm-hmm.
That's so good.
And so as I continue to share, because my mom is everywhere I travel, everywhere I go to speak, my mom is always there.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And she shared with me probably a few years back. She says, you know what? I'm not feeling the sting with it like I used to.
All right.
And I always tell people, and this is the key, we got to learn to not stand in our story, but stand on our story. Because if we stand in our story, we'll always be victim. Mm-hmm. Every time we open our mouth, mm-hmm. we'll walk away feeling like, oh my God, you know, just depressed and the whole nine yards. But when we learn to stand on our story, mm-hmm. use it as a platform to bring glory to God,
mm-hmm.
then listen, you're talking about a win-win situation.
Yes.
And when I grabbed a hold of that, and then I told her, Mama, pull yourself out of this thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're a survivor with this thing. You yes. are like, you have to look at yourself as the on top of it and not in it. Right. And I believe that once we did that, and once we found out that me not sharing it, people think not sharing your story or sharing what's happened makes everything okay.
Right.
But they don't understand. This is dysfunctional.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
This
mm-hmm.
whole thing is off. And if we don't share, it's already messed up anyway. What more damage can we do?
Right.
But what I'm finding out, everybody is trying to protect themselves
mm-hmm.
and not looking at the victim
yeah.
or the right. survivor of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the only one you're protecting is Satan.
There you go.
Because he's just keeping you in bondage by constantly mm-hmm. playing on your mind and constantly
the family.
Telling exactly.
The whole family the whole is family. In prison.
Yes.
And that's what they've got to realize, and that's what I've been trying to get in their heads, y'all. I've got a particular person I can think of just right now. The whole family has been molested and even raped by the same guy
mm.
with the same people in the family.
Mm.
And I know,
mm-hmm.
I know who's doing it, but nobody wants to say anything, but everybody
mm-hmm.
is in an uproar.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's just meet and let's just put it all on the
exactly.
table. Let's talk about
yes.
the elephant in the room.
Mm-hmm.
But again, getting people to open up, and we don't realize just as much as we think it's keeping us apart, we don't realize how powerful it is and how it really will bring our family together.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yes, mm-hmm. because now with my mom and I mean, there's no barriers anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel uncomfortable when I know the Holy Spirit is saying, like, because I can be preaching and write down. The Holy Spirit says, tell them what you've been through, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's just this major breakout. I mean, it's a, oh my gosh. But when I would leave, I would always feel like, God, what? Why did I say that? I know my mom was really uncomfortable with that. She's just got to have something to say.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to understand that it's already dysfunctional when you're not talking about it. How about you just say something and let's just all make the connection and it'll clear everybody. Because everybody's in prison until somebody opens their mouth.
And if you say it or not, Satan is still going to attack. Mm-hmm. So whether I say it and get free.
Right.
I'd rather say it and be free, than not say it and be bound.
Right. Satan is not only after you personally. Mm-hmm. He's after everything connected to you. He's after your family. He's after your friends. So
he's after my next generation that's coming.
Exactly. The people that he's after won't the children's get children.
Yes,
share.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to keep it going in the family so we can keep everybody hold everybody hostage.
Yes,
exactly.
So tell us how you. Because earlier you said your family, well, you were churchgoers, but not really followers of Jesus Christ.
Right.
So how did the Lord speak to you and pull you in and pull you into the relationship that you have now?
I was married. We had just moved from Houston. My husband and I, probably in our second year of marriage, moved to Houston. I bought my first car, my first Mercedes, I remember, and I was so excited because I paid for it. It was like, I like my money. Like, yes.
Yes.
Brand new car, New Year's Eve night, I'll never forget it, riding in the car. And I'm trying to figure out why my husband and I weren't together at that time, probably because I wasn't saved. That's probably why. I'm high, trying to get to this party. I don't have a clue what he's doing, and my car breaks down in front of a church. Y'all believe that?
Oh, wow.
New Year's Eve night, well, the doors were open at the church. I'm going to go see about getting a car, trying to see if I can get my car fixed.
Right.
See if I can get somebody helping start it. Open the door, red carpet, didn't know I was being a VIP that night. Had no idea. Hey, anybody in here, can y'all help me start my car? And I remember getting, the pastor says, well, absolutely. Do you know Jesus? I'm like, what? Dude, I am high. The party is not going to start until I get there. You know,
he goes, like, my car.
I got to hurry up. You know, I got to bring in the new year by midnight, you know. Oh, my God. Have you accepted Jesus? No. What do I need to do so you can come fix my car? Just tell me. Repeat after me. I'm like, okay, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. And I'm going, Lord Jesus, can he hurry up and do this? And I go to the prayer. He says, in Jesus' name, you saved. I said, okay, can you come save my car?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Y'all, I go out to my car, get in my car, and my car starts.
Oh, wow.
Just needed to go in the church.
I think that was an appointment. That was my appointment. It was a divine appointment, did not go to the party. I lost my high. I just was mad. Because you got to go to the party lit already, right?
Right.
Can't wait on them.
Just ruined my evening. It just ruined my evening. It just ruined everything. And I just go home, and I'm just like, what just happened? What just happened? And I had gotten to a point I was smoking a pack of cigarettes a day. Mm-hmm. It was like all of that just kind of, it just went away.
Hmm.
And I started attending the church. And my mom told me that I was going to hell because I wasn't a part of the church. Was it Church of God, Jana? You remember? I don't know if you remember. Church of God. Yeah. And I wasn't going to make it in, you know. And okay. I'm just like, what are y'all talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Well, long story short. Me getting saved and literally being filled with the Holy Spirit and with evidence of speaking in tongues, all of that happened in my life. But that brought my mom.
Yes.
Jana's mom. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Jana, Susie.
It really did.
It brought our entire family to Jesus. And our entire family is literally saved today from that moment. And it's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the truth. Yeah. And from that point on, everybody's, you know, just kind of done their thing. You know, my husband and I had our church and everybody was a part of that. And then all of that dispersed. And
I think that's school. I think that's critical to not only our salvation, but the reason why I am so heavily into singing Christian and gospel music.
Mm-hmm.
Because right at that time is when we discovered I knew how to sing.
Yes, we did.
And Regina introduced me to this pastor at this church and a few other people, and that's when I learned my first song, Going Up Yonder.
Oh, wow. Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
So that's,
and
I mean,
we heard about Kirk doing something like Jana, go.
Like, okay. They were always, and I was like, why?
So you're the reason that I even got the opportunity
to sing with Kirk, because that happened. You got saved, and then you went to sing with Kirk. You were the one that got me.
Do you know, when you came, when we met, when we met at the college gospel situation college, that we had, she was a speaker.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she was there.
Was that
you
in Austin?
You came down in San Marcos.
Yeah. Yes. I was a speaker.
It was
like
Gospel Fest. Thank you.
Oh, yes.
My goodness. She was a speaker there.
Yes.
Oh, wow. I was like, y'all got to get my cousin. Yes. You got to get her there to speak. And they were like, who? I was like, just trust me. She's good. And she really was one of the highlights of the whole event.
Okay.
Small world.
Yes. See, sometimes y'all get scared when your car breaks. Yeah, to let the Lord be in charge. Your car needs to break down sometimes. See, he was in it, and she couldn't see it, but you don't have to see it. Just let the Lord do what he does.
But I think that led to so much. And then I remember my husband getting called, but that was all prior to that. But I really still wasn't into ministry. Maybe that happened afterwards, but I end up going on to Southwestern Theological Seminary. I have my master's in divinity, and I have my doctorate in theology. And who would have ever thought? Yeah, I graduated from North Texas with my bachelor's and ended up going to Southwestern, like I said, and then getting my doctorate in theology. That doesn't mean I know anything any extra. You know, I'm not that brilliant, but I just, did the work. I just did all the work necessary, but I didn't realize that God was prepping me even for where I am today because my husband and I had one of the larger churches in Fort Worth. The largest African-American school from K through 12th grade for 13 years, over 300 students with a full athletic program. And the first school to be accredited in the three-year period when it takes up to 7 years to get it done.
When
you have up to seven, but the 3 years is the minimum. And so we did all of that, and then we built this huge church, what is like 47,000 square feet of just, we had the Starbucks, we had a bookstore, we had all of that, which brings me to the other part of my story.
Okay.
Then after ministry with him for 17 years, being married for 26 years, we are now divorced.
Okay.
I've been divorced now for probably about 8 years now. And having to start over and losing everything, my dream home, all my cars, and learning to live with absolutely nothing. And you walk away from it all because you have. I had to make a decision. Do I love me or the people more at this point in stage in the game? And so I had to love me first at this point and walk away from it all. And probably one of the lowest places in my life. But I lost everything. And that's a whole nother radio conversation.
It really is.
It's a whole it's a whole nother conversation. But God, as I look back now, his hand, I'm just watching the little common thread through it all. And all the things that the enemy meant for evil, God was just working it out for good. And to have to lose, y'all, this, I mean, my dream home was like everything. Gorgeous. I mean, it was everything. And I had everything that probably any woman would ever want, from clothing to the name brand, the shoes, the money in my pocket, you name it. I just had it at my fingertips, literally. And to lose it all and to watch God for a full year, literally take care of me through him putting me on somebody's heart because I didn't have money. And we were trying to keep together a church that was over 1,000 or so members to about 15, but still needing to pay a musician just to keep it going. I'm telling the board, no, I'm leaving. Y'all help me. You need to find somebody. And then the Lord catching me, and I'm sitting in this rent house with no hot water and one light in the house, sitting on a land on a box spring, and he's saying, don't move. And I'm like, God, how am I going to explain that? I'm a female, and you're telling me don't move. What am I supposed to do now? I don't know. I don't know anything about this.
Right.
But stay there. And I go back to tell them, I said, y'all, I can't go nowhere. I'm supposed to stay here. And to be honest with you, what is this? 2018, it wasn't until about 3 years ago, if that long, that I've embraced the position that I'm in. Because I felt like I really thought the church was trying to kill me, literally. My thought of the church just wasn't good. But what I didn't know, it was saving my life. And I remember us doing Bible study, y'all, in the house that we were meeting because we didn't have a building. We didn't have no place to go. We were meeting about eight of us. And when people would leave, I would leave and literally drive around the corner and then come back around in the back because they didn't know I was sleeping on the box spring in the back room.
Wow.
No food. It was just, you know, because our family, we've always really had that I've known. We've not really suffered any of that. I mean, we've always had, but to be in that position was really an awakening for me. But God took care of me, and people would just approach me after a full year. You know what? God just put you on my heart. Here's $500. God just put you on my heart. Here's $1,000. God just put you on my heart. Here's, you know, and at that bit, prior to all of that, I was going to the coin star, prideful, embarrassed, pouring coins in just so I'd have enough money for some gas for a car that I would have to turn over in 2 weeks, and to eat. And it's so much in that story, but I'm just saying, but to be in all of that and to look what God has done, and money really can't buy what I have now. God, it can't buy the peace that I have, the freedom that I enjoy, and he's still allowed me to have even some of the desires of my heart all at the same time. And I think I had to give him a really deep yes from the depths of who I am, because at first I was fighting it to the and so now there's so many things that are coming out of all of this, and I wrote a book called From Pieces to Peace. It was just my testimony. I didn't, it wasn't a book, I was just my story. I was like, God, why do I write a story? Nobody even knows who I am. Just write it. So I thought, well, how can I keep them interested? So I wrote it from a theatrical, and I'm really love theater, and so I wrote it from a, you know, part one setting, action, part two, you know, with all the people, the characters in the, like a play. And in 2015, it was, I had won the Reader's Choice Award. For Best Testimony. I can't believe it. But it has. I was like, oh my gosh. So,
has it been a stage play yet?
It has not been a stage play. But that is coming down the pipe.
That's coming down the pipe.
That's what I'm
getting ready to say. So now, I want to try out. Yeah, I want to try out.
You can be all in it.
Because I this story, man. And I find myself saying so many times, and about this radio show, about this program that we're, you know, this journey that we're on, man, there is such a blessing, such a covering, such a supernatural peace and joy that comes when you follow the Lord. Even when you stay somewhere where you're like, Lord, you got to let me out of this. I got to run away from this. When you stay, when you follow him in doing exactly what he says, even when you do not see it for yourself. Like, you're like, oh, I haven't
like
named myself this.
Yes.
He knows what's best.
He does.
And it feels so good when, because I've been, as she was talking, I kept thinking the scripture that kept coming to my head, the peace that passes all understanding. The peace that just does not make sense. And that's what will finally come when we release that pride, when you just let go of all of it and let God do what he does, and you start sharing your testimony and you get free, then that peace that doesn't make sense to anybody of why you continue to make it and why you can smile, why you don't care about that house anymore, or, you know, that's that peace. Like, thank God for that peace that just, that peace that don't make sense.
That's, and you know, that's faith. And we all have to, we all have a road that we have to travel, and we all have a story to tell. And we all got to get to the place where we let ourselves go and say, Lord, this, if I were to write this down on paper, I would walk away from it. But I'm not looking at what I can write down on paper. I am listening to you. I'm pressing into your presence, hearing your word for my life, allowing you to name me. And I'm going to be what you say.
And, you know, people ask me now, they go, what are you doing? So what are you up to right now? I say, just walking on water. That's all. I don't need any distractions, you know. Because I knew this school, he'd been, he's been dealing with me about opening the Fine Arts Academy again, the, well, the Spelman Fine Arts Academy again. And I've just, him and I've been going back and forth, and I'm like, I don't have the funds for this. And I, and again, really, y'all, the power of our words, we got to be really careful about what we say, because we're so powerful that when we speak, we create. And so I had to stop saying that. And I was like, okay, God, if this is what you really want me to do, and if I'm hearing you right, you're going to make, you're going to work this out. So I just started walking. So I just, if this is you, call me out of the boat. Like, Peter, come, tell me to come. And I get out. And, you know, I always tell people, come and see only me. See only me, come. And I got out of the boat. And I have been walking, and he has done. I hired people. Told them, oh, start date is going to be this day. Mm-hmm. This is going to happen, you know, because I always believe, okay, so we're not going to walk by faith, then why do we need him?
Right.
Yeah, true. Okay.
Right.
The Bible talks about him hastening to perform his word. He's ready to go to work. He's ready to do something. I'm like, okay, so this you talking? All right. This is what we're going to do. We need construction going on. I need order these things. And I'm just walking. And my mom goes, Regina, you got a payday coming up like in 2 weeks. And this is before school started because I had one of my main teachers to start a week or two prior to school actually starting so they can start getting the rooms together. And she says, yeah, I said, yeah, I know. She says, where are you going to get the money from? Mama, I'm walking on water. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. Y'all, our dance instructor, I've had it. Listen, I got a dance instructor. I have a music instructor. I have a main director, and she's an instructor. I have two assistants. What zero budget. I hired all these people. Like, okay, God, you got to do it. Y'all, I preach. My dance instructor, Caucasian, like my brother over here on the system over here, my sister in Christ, her dad wanted to come and like, okay, you coming over here to this church, you know, these African-American people, I need to go see who you connecting with, right? They come over, and that particular day, I told the church, I'm going to feed y'all taco. We're going to do a big taco bar. I just need y'all to help me to come put together some stuff. We need to get some stuff on the wall, you know, all this good stuff. So he comes in, and next thing I know, he's taking notes and got his legs crossed. I'm like, oh, I must be doing real good right about now, you know. He's all dressed. Long story short, he decides to stay and help us out, right?
Okay.
Did all the great work, did everything. He said, man, your teaching is amazing. He said, I'm just so used to y'all just, you know, people just preaching, you know, we shout and then everybody goes home. And he goes, but boy, your teaching is amazing. I was like, oh, well, thank you. Orientation was the following week. He wanted to come to orientation, but his job, he had to travel. But of course, his daughter was there because she had to be there. She says, well, my dad said he wants to give you a card. So she hands me a card. She said, you don't have to open it now. You can just open it later. I'm like, okay. So when they tell you that, you open it now, right? She walks out of the door. Her dad left me $5,000.
Do it, Lord.
Do y'all know that covered that payroll. First?
Yes.
For my payroll?
Yes.
Put $5,000 in a check and gave it to me. He said, my wife and I were up. He said, we never give that kind of money to one, but we're givers, but we never give that much to one place. He said, but the Holy Spirit kept saying, give it to her.
Wow.
I said, now, isn't that amazing?
That's,
and God knew payroll was coming.
Yes. Yeah.
And he dropped that. And then next thing I know, then there's another lady came through and gave us $4,750 for scholarship money to help any single mom, a single parent. So that's really our key, even with the school. Any single parents, we're creating a scholarship for them to start helping them to be able to bring their kids to I always say, giving public students a private experience. And so that's kind of how everything has happened. We've had people that pay for the sew and pay for curriculum to all of our cubbies. Someone has donated for that. Everything has been donated.
Okay, so I know someone is listening to the radio show right now, and they're like, okay, my child needs to get into this school. If you are in the Fort Worth area or willing to drive to the Fort Worth area, what is the telephone number that they can call right now or the website that they can go on so they can get some information and get their child in?
Well, actually, right now, our website is not up, but we are on Facebook, The Spelman Fine Arts Academy, and we're also on Instagram. The Spelman Fine Arts Academy.
Okay.
You can find us in either one of those places, and you can go on Facebook, Instagram, you can hit the link in the bio, as well as on Facebook, you can hit the link and everything is there.
Okay.
All that information is there, and so you can get anything that you need from there. And if they just want to call me personally, 817-584-4202. And they can come and be a part of that. We do have scholarship money available for parents. Single parents that is that are willing to we're willing to partner with you in the education for your child. And I'm just excited about the program. It's amazing.
I mean, if that isn't a commercial for following the Lord, I don't know. Right? I don't know what is. I don't know what else to tell you. But you know what? We are so out of time and there's so much more that we would love to talk with you about. I mean, we just, oh my goodness. I feel like we just got the surface. So
yes,
please come back.
I would love to.
And we will do part two. But thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Spellman. And we'll put all your information on our social media. And we want people just to connect with
awesome.
You. We've had a wonderful time. So
yes,
thank you so much. And Jana Bell.
Yeah.
Thank
My
you cousin. So much.
Yes.
Thanks for co-hosting with me today. And another hey to Vicky. We miss Vicky,
hey, Vicky
being here.
Love you. Miss you.
Yes. Everyone, our Every Heart, Every Woman Radio is a program of Love Ministries. Go to their website and get more information, loveministriesbuilds.org. We will see you back here next week.